Welcome to the Standard Bank CIB Why She Leads podcast. My name is Judy Dlamini and I will be your host. Standard Bank CIB in this series showcases powerhouse deal makers who just happen to be women. It's women that can stand their own anywhere in the world but choose to be at Standard Bank. It's women who are inspired to inspire. And today I have the pleasure of chatting to the head of strategy enablement in the global markets, Bulelwa Tejana Madonsela. Welcome, Bulelwa.
Thank you.
It's such an honor to have you today.
It is an honor to meet you and to have this conversation.
Oh, great. Two barrel. Do you always use two barrel?
So the Tejana surname I use here within the walls of Standard Bank.
Yeah.
And mainly because I've been here for 15 years.
Wow.
So my career has really grown within this organization as a Tejana. And I got married to Madonsela while I was here at the bank.
Yeah.
And so I just really wanted to still maintain that identity within Standard Bank. But outside of Standard Bank, I'm actually just Madonsela.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. It's quite interesting because I have that option of double barrel. Mm. And I use my dad's surname. And when they say I'm a feminist, I'm like, no, I'm just choosing one man's surname over another man's surname. There's no woman there. So.
Exactly. Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Agree.
And married with three kids?
Yes.
Oh, and how is that? The juggling?
It's actually been a lot of effort. It's been a lot of effort. We are a blended family because you probably could tell because I got married while I was here, yet I was here for 15 years. Eldest is 19.
Yeah.
So the 19-year-old is from my husband's first marriage. Mm-hmm. And the 12-year-old is from my husband's first marriage. And so I had one child from my first marriage as well. Yeah. So having a blended family has been one hell of work. And then being a career woman. But for me, family is so important, and it's the one thing that actually grounds me.
Yeah,
I am very deliberate in all the different personas that I actually encompass.
Yeah.
So I'm a person that likes to be present whenever I'm in a particular persona. So at home, I am wife, I am mom, full on.
Yeah.
But at work, I am a colleague. And I've just been privileged to be able to have the right support system that when I'm at work, I don't get distracted with mommy issues. Yeah.
Oh, that's amazing. Hats off to you. That's a lot of juggling. It's not just your mainstream juggling.
Mm.
If you didn't become a banker, I know your background is accounting. I know quite a few accountants that I'm related to. What would you be? Because the choice is so wide.
If I wasn't a banker, wasn't an accountant, I would be the performing arts.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Not at all.
Okay, that's your second career then.
I don't know. I think right now, well, in fact, since I was young, I do it rather for recreational purposes rather than, you know, some form of income for me.
Yeah.
I find it really gives me energy. I love singing. I love drama. I'm also good at art. So that's what I would have pursued.
Wow.
But I mean, I'm sure, you know, back then, our parents were not so supportive of those type of careers. So I had to choose a career that made sense. Yeah. And I happened to also be good in accounting.
Well, I'm foretelling that you will have it as a second career. Post-retirement, because people don't retire now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People don't retire. However, interestingly for me, my real passion, though, is people.
Yeah.
Even though I love performing arts, people are my true passion. And that is likely my second career, people.
Okay. Oh, I love that. And global markets means there's a bit of traveling.
Mm-hmm.
If you had to choose another country to be in and live there, what country would that be and why?
I'll probably choose two.
Oh, okay.
And I'm assuming you're referring to Africa rather than outside of Africa.
It's up to you. I'm quite lenient.
Okay, then, if it was Africa, I would choose Kenya.
Oh, wow.
In Nairobi. And if it was outside of Africa, it would most likely be England.
Okay, and why?
Kenya, I feel like Kenya is very similar to South Africa. The people are also very similar to South Africa. So when I engage with the people, you know, within the bank that are from Kenya, very, very similar. So I think the adjusting will be easy, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, I just also love the East African culture. I think it's so rich and there's so much that is in common with the Southern African culture, actually, with East Africans. But the mere fact that I am Nguni,
yeah,
I do believe that we were all once Bantu,
yeah,
which are from East Africa. So that's what attracts me to Kenya.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And then England, I love the corporate vibe in London. I really do.
Yeah.
I find it's not as brutal as America is, because America can be very abrasive, but England is really, it's corporate, it's cutthroat, but there's some sensibility with it rather than the US, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
You've been here for 15 years. Let's walk down memory lane. You came in here, was it the first job or you? Oh, wow.
No, it was not.
Oh, okay.
It was not. Yeah. So I was trained at Deloitte as an accountant. And then I decided to stay on after my articles as an audit manager. So that was my first real job as an audit manager at Deloitte. And I worked in the Durban office for a year. And then I moved to the Joburg office, still with the assurance division.
Yeah.
And then I think that was also for another year or so.
Mm-hmm.
And then I moved to Standard Bank.
Yeah. And you never left?
I did.
Oh.
That's the interesting part.
Yeah.
I actually left in 2014,
uh-huh,
beginning of 2014, for about 10 months.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, I went to MMI Holdings and then I came back.
What pulled you back? Was it a push or a pull?
It was a pull.
Oh, wow.
It was a pull,
uh-huh,
luckily for me.
Mm.
The culture. I think with Standard Bank, we can complain every day around so many things that don't work. But I think the reason why a lot of us stay for so long, it's the culture. The culture is, it's one where if you allow it, you can grow.
Yeah.
You can grow a great deal. You know, I made reference to America earlier.
Yeah.
And when I think about American banks as an example, I actually glad that I never worked for one.
Yeah.
And not really because of the culture being abrasive, but because the American bank culture actually matches my real personality a lot. And I don't think I would have been given the opportunity to grow as a person, therefore.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in a culture like Standard Bank, I've managed to grow as a person and not be in my comfort zone. You know, sometimes, you know, people do perceive me to be aggressive for a female, and that's my natural zone.
Mm-hmm.
But in this bank, I've managed to learn to appreciate other people that are not like me. And I've stretched myself to do work and to grow with those people and to deliver with people that are not similar to me. So that's what I appreciate with this culture.
Wow. That's amazing. The culture has nurtured you outside your comfort zone and made you a better person.
Yeah.
How amazing is that?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You would have been mentored
Yes.
By different people. What one lesson sustains you from any of the mentors that have mentored you?
Number one, always try to be true to you and yourself as a person and your values. That's the one true lesson, I would say, that I got. Mm. The very first coach I had when I started Articles, and I trace my career, you know, along the years. And that's actually been the common thread with the mentors or coaches that I've had along the years, where, you know, I've been made to feel comfortable to be myself, but with responsibility.
Yeah.
So, because like I said, if you're going to choose to be the aggressive one, there's also consequences.
Of course.
Right? Because some other people won't receive you so positively. Mm-hmm. So it's been a beautiful lesson, therefore, for me to know when it's required and when it's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. Stay true to your values. Mm. Yeah. Well, I have a message from one of your mentors. Craig Sager.
What I remember about Bully was her willingness to engage really gave her what I call a competitive advantage over the rest. She really managed to get both the teams, her peers, her juniors, and her leadership to engage with her and to take the time to ensure that she developed the skills that she required and accepted the challenges that were thrown her way. And this willingness to engage really helped her with her client relations, and she could form collaborative relationships with clients rather than the sometimes antagonistic relationship that audit members of teams have with clients. She was always willing to accept challenges, and her ability and willingness to pass on what she had learned to her colleagues also really helped her, because you learn while you teach, and she enjoyed that. And I found that she was also one of those who lived by one of my mantras, which I insisted in all our teams, is that every day you must have some fun, at least one good laugh, and learn something new. And that seemed to sum Bully up and her attitude to life in general. And that ready smile really made her a pleasure to work with. And well done, Bully, on your career. I'm looking forward to engaging in the future.
How amazing is that?
Oh.
Yeah, sorry I made you cry.
Yeah. Yeah, that was my first coach.
Wow.
Very first coach in my career. Yeah. So obviously he's retired now. Because he was quite senior in years. Even at the time he was probably my dad's age when I started my career.
Yeah.
But I really appreciated with Craig was just that he was different.
Yeah.
He was different to an audit partner. And I love that.
Yeah.
One could call him a maverick. He just did things differently.
Okay.
And like, I remember, you know, when you worked with him, you know, on a client assignment, he would walk in a room and just want you to sit next to him.
Okay.
And he'd be like, tell me about this job. How's it going? Before he reviews any audit files. And that for me was just an exceptional skill, because from the conversation, he would pick up so many things about that assignment. And he's right. That's one of the things I learned from him, to learn while you're leading others.
Mm.
And that is something that I hold very dear. I strongly believe that people that are below you can be smarter than you, and that's okay, because they actually make you shine and you also learn through them.
That's amazing. He practiced Ubuntu. He was humane. He saw the human being in you.
Mm.
And how amazing is that? Yeah. Mm. What in your view, we have gender inequality, as you know, what in your view would actually help us to change the status quo and have more women in leadership position?
Mm.
As women leaders and men leaders, what in your view we can be done?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'll start with male leaders.
Yeah.
I think it's very important for males to be supportive of females in the corporate environment. because whether we like it or not, it's still very much a man's world in corporate. And so to have a male that supports a female and is willing to actually invest time in helping her grow, for me, I believe that is actually invaluable. Because as you start your career as a female, there's certain boardrooms that you don't sit in as well. And so to have a male figure who is senior in the organization that is able to speak about you in those boardrooms that you don't sit in, it's actually very credible to his colleagues. Mm. And people now start to suddenly want to work with you because they're hearing about this Bulelwa, you know, and you get more exposure that way. So for me, that's very important, that men do need to be supportive of females. They need to be part of the female agenda in corporate. And then for us females, it's important not to be too comfortable being the first and the only.
Oh, yeah.
We can't be too comfortable with that. We need to be able to bring others up with us. One of the things I said earlier is that my passion is people. And so when I engage with females, junior females most especially, I really make a point to make sure that they feel good about themselves when I engage with them. Identify things about them that are their strengths. Because I believe that there can never be another Bulelwa. However, you can be the best Jessica. Mm. So if I identify the great things about Jessica that make her a great person, and I talk about those things, I harness those skills when I engage with her, then she's always, you know, energized to do better and to harness that skill about her. So that's what I believe I do best, and that other female leaders should learn to do more of. And in that way, you actually have other females that support you every day. You know, you can actually call on Jessica anytime when you need support with that ever a skill that she has. You know, so in that way, she's brought along as well in that journey, and she grows as well.
That's amazing. Yeah. We do know that you have mentees because one of them has sent something for you. Let's hear from Umpemet Sitsoho.
I started working closely with Bulelwa when she was the CFO for Global Markets, and I had joined the Africa Regions team. And she has been such a huge pillar of support for me. If there's one person who I can honestly say they show up for me, it would be Bulelwa. During the most critical points in my career, she's helped me work through a lot of noise, given me perspective, and contributed so much to the person I have grown into. She's helped me focus on what is important and given me so many pearls of wisdom. I appreciate the time she has invested in me. She has celebrated my successes with me and supported me during my biggest challenges, be it personal or work-wise. I honestly see her as my work big sister, a role model, and a phenomenal leader. Thank you for everything that you've done, Bulelwa.
Wow. I feel like clapping. Well done. Well
Thank
done.
You.
Thank you. What would you say to your 20-year-old, knowing what you know now?
Sure. Knowing what I know now, what I would say to my 20-year-old is, it is okay not to be a fighter for everyone.
Mm.
It's okay to know that sometimes the battle is not yours to fight.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And live with that.
Yeah.
And be content.
Yes.
Yeah. How do you unwind?
Sure. A lot of things. Sure. Wow. A part of me is a creative, right? So I read, I sing.
I can't wait to hear you sing.
I do Pilates. Yeah. I've just picked up golf.
Oh, wow.
As well. And I spend time with my kids and my husband. We're a family that really loves laughing. So we laugh a lot about the silliest of things. You know, it could be a child saying a word incorrectly, you know. My daughter could be saying, Olona, and we laugh about that because that's one of her friend's names, you know. And so that's what we do as a family. We laugh a lot. And we don't have to be out there doing a particular activity. Yeah. We make fun in our space as well.
That's amazing. Yeah. Do you have a bucket list?
Not really. I haven't constructed one, but yes, there's things that I do have in mind that I'd like to do.
Yeah. Are you happy to share one?
I'll share one. I am very, very much looking forward to one day traveling to Turkey and Israel.
Oh, wow.
I believe those two countries are spiritual birthplaces. And for me, going there and just tracking some of the apostles that we've learnt about, saints that we've learnt about in the Bible, would be just those goosebump moments. Yeah. So I'd really love to do that one day. Yeah.
Yeah, I pray that you tick that bucket list soon. But well done.
Thank you.
You've done well, lifting as you rise, and you show what's possible to a 20-year-old Mthatha, a 10-year-old, you know, and I wish you everything of the best. It was an honor to meet you and have a chat with you. Thank you, Bulelwa.
Thank you. I feel honored to be in your presence, to be honest. And thank you for making it so easy.
Thank you.
And your humility. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Bulelwa.